Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am Teron Davenport. You are now tuned in to the only daily Eagles podcast. I appreciate you guys taking the time to tune in. We got two interviews for you as well. I know Bryce Treggs is a guy who's drawing a lot of interest, so I wanted to make sure that we talked to him yesterday, as well as Nigel Bradham. And with the whole situation with Josh Huff, you know, obviously Nigel Bradham had his things that he's working through. So he gives a little perspective, just in a locker interview that he did. And then I talked to him separately as well about some of the things that with the rivalry. So it's an interesting conversation. Before we get into that, just with Josh Huff, I mean, this is a situation that, you know, a lot of people are making jokes about it and things like that, but this could be a serious situation for this young man. So, you know, I personally don't think it's a joking matter with these charges. You know, and I understand that he made a mistake. Oh, yeah, and he has to be smarter. And I understand those things. But you know what? We're all imperfect. And now this guy is possibly facing some severe consequences. So I just hope it all works out for Josh Huff as the person before the player. And one of the good things is getting to play this game will help him take his mind off of those issues. And, you know, at the end of the day, well, we all make mistakes, and obviously our mistakes could lead to bad situations. So we'll just see how this one plays out. But I do want to allow you to listen in to a conversation that we as the media had with Nigel Bradham, and then also my personal conversation with him. Check it out.
Did Josh speak to the team or guys on the team about his particular situation? Is he remorseful? Is he sorry? Has he spoken to the team at all?
I mean, obviously, yes. He's spoken, he's apologized and everything like that. Nobody wants to be a distraction to the team. And, I mean, it's unfortunate. Like I said, obviously, we had a couple of incidents this year. It's all unfortunate. This is something we got to grow from. Absolutely, we got to hold ourselves accountable and be more responsible at the end of the day. And that's just what it is. The main thing is, I mean, obviously, I've went through some things. And the main thing is staying positive, staying strong, and being close with this team. I mean, you know, we got responsibility, and we just got to own up to them and hold our responsibility. Continue to be leaders and role models.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was this morning. I didn't know. I haven't talked to him.
Now, just real quick, you know, being at State, you had Miami and Florida, you know, Buffalo, you had New England here, Cowboys and Giants, Redskins. Do you feel like the practice has turned up a little bit when it's time to go against them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. You can definitely tell it's rivalry week. When you're going against teams in your division here, and the way we go out and practice, I mean, it's just another notch you have to take it to prepare yourself, especially right now for us, the situation we're in. We really need this win. So, I mean, we pretty much got our backs against the wall right now, so we pretty much know that. And we're going into this week just focused and just doing the best we can to prepare.
I think one of the overlooked aspects of the game is the communication. You know, everybody says the safeties and DBs communicate, but they need to communicate to you also on, like, the toss cracks and those type of plays. How is that coming along as far as the chemistry with Malcolm and with some of the corners, et cetera?
Oh, it's definitely been working for us. We've obviously got a lot better over the past few weeks. I think the only game where I feel like we didn't really communicate well was, and that was our learning point, was the Redskins game. After that, I feel like we pretty much got it corrected, and that made us gel a little closer and build it stronger. Obviously, we got great safeties, Malcolm and Rodney, and me and Jordan. I mean, we got some great communicators, obviously. So this is one of the things where I feel like we've been growing, and it's been building since OTAs, and now it's just starting to click even a little more. So.
Speaking of Jordan, one of the things that I talked to him before the season, and he was talking about how he wanted to come up and then spike the gaps. I mean, he's not the biggest linebacker. How have you seen him just progress and settle into this defense? Because I think he's playing really well. You
he's
are too,
amazing.
But you know, as a unit, you guys are playing well.
Yeah, he's playing amazing. I mean, he's been doing a tremendous job, man. It's actually unbelievable because he's actually still young. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's some of the things that he's been doing, and you would think it'd be like a 10-year guy or a 9-year or some kind of guy who's got a lot of experience, you know. And the things he's doing right now, man, it's unbelievable because he's only in his second year. So it's like, and I think he missed half of the last season.
Right. So after that, yeah.
Right. So yeah. It's like he's been doing a tremendous job communicating, man, getting us lined up. And just knowing things and reading his keys, making tremendous plays, obviously. And he's been shooting gaps and being physical the whole season. I think that's the best thing. A lot of people don't even realize that how physical he is as mm-hmm. a linebacker. And that's one of his best attributes, I think, being able to come downhill on those linemen the way he does and take those blocks off some of the double teams or the three techniques and the nose. He's been physical, man, and we've been loving every bit of it.
So just last question. I know in Buffalo you had a front row seat, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius here. You see Benny Logan and Fletcher Cox. How much have they helped you with what you're able to do? And when you see Darius and Kyle, I mean, these are two of the best D-tackles in the league. What are some of the things you see similar between those two guys?
I think the most similar thing out of those two are their footwork. The footwork, I mean, you probably compare him to a defensive back,
mm-hmm.
But in a big body,
right?
Because their footwork is unbelievable. Like that's the biggest similarity I've seen out of the two. Because I mean, their footwork is amazing, man. Just being able to go ahead and just toss a guard one way and your feet and get your hips across like just so fast at a quick pace. And it's amazing to see what they can do up front, man. But as far as helping me, they've been doing a tremendous job. Even the front, I call them the front eight because they rotate them.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a great rotation. I feel like even our backups come in and play very well. But obviously, yeah, those guys, man, they double teams, anything. That's the reason why I'm able to run around and make a couple plays,
right.
You know. Because they got to pay attention to those guys first. You can't get to me without going through them. So it's definitely one of the best fronts I've been a part of. So I'm happy to be a part of it.
Cool.
All right, so that was Nigel Bradham. And, you know, as you see, he liked to talk about his teammates past and present, you know, Marcel Darius and Fletcher Cox. And I agree with him 100%. So just looking at some of the things coming up in practice yesterday, they did a lot as far as an individual period, throwing the deep ball. That's something that they really focused on. Bryce Treggs, I'm telling you, he was really impressive. And I wrote about that. So you can check that out on the Eagles Wire. I wrote about just the way it was almost like as if they could not overthrow him. And I think that he's going to be a really good option for them once they finally activate him. Just set him outside and let him use that 4-3 speed that he has. And it's different for him because that speed transfers onto the football field. So we had a group interview with Treggs. So I want to bring you that so you can hear him firsthand talk about just some of the opportunities he has coming up. Check this one out.
Just in watching the individual period in practice, I see they're allowing all the receivers to catch vertical passes. Is that something that you haven't been able to do before in that period?
I mean, I think what the coach is trying to do is just make people respect the deep ball. You know, and the way you do that is completing passes downfield. So that's definitely something we're looking to do. Every team's looking to do that, but we're just going to try it out in practice. That's why we have to get the timing with the quarterback, because if you don't practice timing with the deep ball, they're not going to feel comfortable calling it in the game. So we just wanted to get that done and routes on there so that if we do call a deep play, Carson will be comfortable with it, and we're all on the same page with him.
I know that you've been, you know, a receiver all your life. Your dad coached the position. He played the position and then coached you as well.
Yes.
What were some of the pointers you've been able to pull from your father, having been there and done that before?
The thing he always told me to do was play fast. You know, play fast, and that will solve a lot of your problems. You know, reading stuff on the go, playing fast. Because a lot of times people focus on, oh, I got to stick right here. I got to stick right here. They're thinking too much in the middle of the route. So they're just playing fast and know what they have. So that was his big advice on, you know, just being a technician of the game, watching film, studying your opponent. All those things are things that I've been doing since high school, watching film with him. Just being real particular in the details of my game. So he's definitely helped me in that regard.
Can you tell from reps or anything during practice whether you're getting a little bit more look right now?
I mean, I've been saying they're a lot more comfortable with me now. They just throw me in there. You know, the early couple of weeks when I was here, obviously didn't go through training camp, didn't get any installs or anything like that. So they sort of had to tell me what to do, but now they just send me in there. You know, Trey's go to X, Trey's go to Z, Trey's go to F. So I know all three of their positions in case they do need my services, and hopefully on Sunday I will be up.
As far as your ability is concerned, I mean, you just mentioned that you're cross-training. How do you feel you transfer into the slot position, into the outside, and some of the things that you're going to be asked?
Yeah, I've played both. My first 2 years in college, I played outside receiver, and then my last two, I played inside. So I'm very comfortable with both. And like I said, if you play fast, it's still wide receiver, you know. Whether you're in the slot, whether you're outside, you're still running routes and catching passes. So that's what I do.
How anxious are you just to get a shot, any shot?
I'm definitely anxious to get a shot, you know. Anytime there's an opportunity on the table, you get excited for it. And it's all about preparation for me. If you prepare, there's not going to be any nerves or jitters. That comes when you're not prepared. So I've been waiting on this moment. If I'm active on Sunday, I've been waiting and preparing for this moment. So it's not like it's, oh, now I got to get ready for game mode. I've been in game mode since I got here.
I'm surprised they haven't given you a chance up at this point.
You know, that's something that the coaches make a decision on. I just go out there and work every day and let them make that decision.
Has it been frustrating to wait for this moment? I mean, everybody wants to play.
Yeah, exactly. As a competitor, it's definitely frustrating being on the sideline, wanting to make plays out there, especially when you see where we're playing at AT&T Stadium, playing at home in front of our fans. You know, it's a great environment, and I'm ready to embrace that if I get a shot.
Are you getting some work on special teams as well?
Yes, I've been working at gunner, kickoff, all the speed positions, you know, so I can show my speed and help out on teams. So definitely working in with that.
How do you keep from putting too much pressure on yourself during practice? I mean, if I don't catch these balls, I'm not
pressure. I don't think there's pressure. Like I said, that comes from lack of preparation. I've been catching balls all my life, you know, just because, you know, the field's still 100 yards long, 53 and a half wide, and the ball still relatively the same size. So, like I said, there's no pressure. You got to go out there and perform.
I'm sorry if it's already been asked, but what's held you back from playing? Is it still the injury? If they just haven't activated, you know, elevated you on game day, or is there?
100% healthy. Knee actually feels better than it did before the injury, so that's not the issue at all. It's just a coach's decision. You know, it's on me to give them the trust to put me out there. So hopefully I do this week, and on Sunday I can go out there and make an impact.
How's the quarterback's deep ball?
Oh, it's great. Carson Wentz was a gorgeous deep ball. Gorgeous. You guys probably haven't seen it that much yet, but trust me, he has it. He has it. Yeah.
It's like when you're running down, you see it up there, you go, oh yeah, this guy can put it there.
He can definitely put it out there. And I told him today, in practice, you know, sometimes our legs get heavy from going through practice. I told him to put it out there. It's my job to go get it. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out.
You feel you're building this rapport with him in practice and just kind of building that trust with him, and then maybe that goes to the coaches?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, me and Carson talked today. We've talked in the past, you know. Yeah. He likes throwing the ball downfield, so we're looking to do that.
Getting more snaps?
I mean, yeah, I've been getting a lot of reps these past few weeks. That's why I said I'm not sure if I'm going to be active or not, but if I am, I'll definitely be ready. But, yeah, they're a lot more comfortable with me getting in there, mixing it up with the starters and stuff like that.
You're not getting any kind of indication, though, one way or another, that you're kind of leaning toward that?
No, like I said, it's a coach's decision. I go out there and I practice hard, run my routes, catch the ball, and on Sunday the coaches make the decision. So we'll see.
I know this offense, there's a lot of times where they have alerts, you know, different things that you guys check to, whereas you have
based
to be on
the coverages,
same page.
Yeah,
exactly.
Based on coverages.
How are you coming along with just, you know, knowing that side of the book as well?
Well, in our routes, actually, like when we install plays, it actually tells you the side adjustment. So versus cloud, versus press, converted to a go.
Right.
If he's outside, convert it to a basic. So we have different stuff like that. And that all comes in learning the play. So when you learn the plays, you have to learn that stuff, or else you don't really know the full concept. So I'm comfortable with that.
What do the Giants lead? Are they cover two, single high? What do they like to do?
They're a two-high team, quarter team, two-high team. So we're looking to take advantage of that, hopefully take some shots and come out on top, help our team win. You know, on offense, we definitely need some big plays on the field to open it up so they can respect the running game, respect the underneath
stuff like that. Two-high can limit the vertical game, though, can it?
Yeah, two-high. When you get cover two, when those dudes are real far off the hash, you can get that. But in quarters, a lot of time, you get a safety.
They have to rotate down.
Yeah, sometimes they rotate down, cut crosses and stuff like that. So, as I said, it's a great defense, great team, and we're looking forward to competing against it.
If you're right.
So that was Bryce Treggs. Definitely like his take. I love his confidence. So thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, TheEaglesWire.USA Today. And definitely be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, the Locked On Eagles podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.